This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
Opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team out, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
And welcome to the Press Pass here on KXL 189, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan, the Press Pass presented by Douglas Leonard and Garvey. If you've been injured, the most important decision you're going to make is who your lawyer is going to be. I encourage you to check out Douglas Leonard and Garvey at nhlawoffice.com. And this segment of the show brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know the treatment works. For information, check out riverbendcmhc.org. Appreciate you joining us for the show as we go in-depth on the Patriots, Celtics, and Bruins here on this edition of the show. Patriots will host the Dolphins in the regular season finale on Sunday in Foxborough. Dolphins 4-11. Patriots are at 12-3 right now. They've won two in a row. They need to win to secure a first-round bye into the divisional round of the playoffs. They can do so with a win or a Kansas City loss. So Patriots are playing for something on Sunday. Here is Patriots safety Devin McCourty.
You know, that is what, you know, both sides of the ball is made up on, our fundamental stuff that we execute day in and day out. You know, that is your bread and butter, as they say. So, you know, you definitely see those plays when you watch the Dolphins.
Here is running back James White.
It was a good win on Saturday. Got to move forward from it. Dolphins have been playing well the past few weeks, and it'll be another good challenge for us. And it's an important game for us. Just got to go out and compete from the first snap to the last. Those guys are going to come out ready to play.
So one of the big changes for the Patriots in last week's game against the Buffalo Bills, which is a great win for the Pats, come from behind victory, is that the offense came out and won the game for them late. And you start to see a little bit of the chemistry that is needed, and you also can sense that maybe if the Patriots need to turn things on and get things done, they can. Buffalo's a good team, good defense, and they're able to make plays down the stretch to come out with a victory. I talked with Jacoby Myers, the Patriots' undrafted rookie, who has stepped up and played well for the Pats.
Just what did it mean to the group to put together the type of performance you get down the stretch against Buffalo in terms of building confidence and that you guys as an offense went out and won the game?
Coach Bill always say, I mean, football really starts after Thanksgiving, you know, so we didn't have our best games early on, but we still want to get better because it's a lot of important football ahead of us. So it means a lot, you know. It's all about going on the road at the right time. So hopefully we can keep it going, keep momentum flowing.
Did you feel like as a group you needed that to kind of build confidence, or maybe not build it but solidify it, given what this team had accomplished before?
Not even just build confidence. We needed that to win that game. You know, that's a pretty tough team to play. We might have to see them again. So we just got to keep that mindset going. Like I said, that momentum would be definitely it'll help us if we peak right now. So.
What does it mean that Tom has been looking to you, you know, kind of consistently over the last few weeks for in big situations to make big plays? And where do you see your chemistry with him at this point?
I'm just growing. Every day it can either progress or it can diminish, you know. So it's just a reminder to myself every day to come out here, put my best foot forward, and give him reasons to throw me the ball, you know. Not when he's looking at me, I'm not open or I'm not doing the right thing. I got to come out here and show him I can do the right thing even when it's hard.
And how consistently have you been able to do that, do you think, over the last couple of weeks? And have you seen your consistent progression on your part in making sure you're putting yourself in position to have success?
Not even just me. A lot of the young guys, I think we're definitely progressing. I mean, the effort is there for all of us. We're all working really hard, trying to get better every single day. We don't waste any time when we come in here. So, I mean, I'm hoping that when I'm on the field, it seems as progression to the coaches. So,
Julian Edelman's talked about it's the time it took for him to build, you know, the trust in Brady. And obviously, you know, Rob Gronkowski, same thing. So how difficult is it to, you know, to build that relationship in your view? And what type of work do you have to put in to make it happen? Is it a relationship where he needs to see things on the field, where he needs to see you doing things on film, just your buy-in? Like, how do you, in your view, what do you have to do to make sure that trust is there?
It's all of that combined, honestly. Like I was saying earlier, as fast as you can earn it, it's just as fast as you can lose it, you know. So a good play can help him build it, and a bad play can definitely help diminish it. So every day I just got to come in, put in my best foot forward, and hopefully keep seeing it.
A final thing, you know, what is the most important thing in your view, having success as a receiver that perhaps fans don't see? Like, they'll see the end play where the ball is coming to you and you're either making the play or not. What is the most important thing that you have to do as a player?
Knowing your job, you know, and doing the hard things right. Like, a lot of people don't really see. I think we got some of the best blocking receivers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, talking about myself, but like the guys that I mm-hmm. see that go in there and stick their nose into the fire every single day, regardless of how their bodies feel, what kind of day it is. So I think that's something that's very important to us, especially as a whole offense. And we just want to keep getting better with little things like that that people might not notice.
Sweet. Thanks, Chip.
Also talked with wide receiver Philip Dorsett.
What did the Buffalo game do for you guys in terms of not just the division and all that, but the confidence that it gave to, you know, your offense and this group that when they needed to make plays, you did down the stretch, and the offense, as much as anything, won the game?
We've always been a confident group. We just had to put it together, and I think that's what we did during the game. We just had to play harder. Like I said, every week, just had to play harder, and I think we did that. We played physical. We went out there, and we did the little things right, and that helped us go out there and execute some of the plays.
Does it mean anything, though, that when, you know, the chips were down and there had been games where there were big games throughout the course of the year, but this was a game like you needed to win and you were behind and you go out and make the plays, and does it say, oh, okay, we still have that? Like, or did you know it was there?
I knew it was there. Like I said, we practice every day for these situations. And we just needed to hunker down, and we needed to just do the little things right, be physical. And it was all going to come together. And it did. It came together. But we still got a lot. We got a long way to go. I feel like we are clicking, finding ourselves a little bit. But we still got more work to do, and it's not going to stop.
How do you build confidence with Tom? Like, what do you look to do to make sure that Tom is confident in what you're doing? And how do you pass that along to whether it's Nikhil or Jacoby, guys who have, you know, really progressed over the last couple of weeks? And you obviously want to make sure that they're, you know, where they need to be.
It's practice reps, going in, just making sure that you know what you're doing, that you're going out there and you're playing hard and you're making the plays in practice, and that translates to the game. And if he sees it, he'll trust it, and then he'll throw it.
Does it feel like the season's been a grind? Because that's obviously the outside mentality, is that, like, if you listen to the radio or listen to Patriots fans, you think the team is like 10-6 best, probably 8-8, you know, after the season's over. Yeah. But you guys are, you know, potentially be 13-3, 12-3 right now. Does it feel like it's been a grind, or do you feel like this is a team that is where it usually is?
It feels like every year. Every year is the same. Not the same, but every year trends in the same way. I mean, we play so hard, we work so hard, and we go out there. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not going to win every game. But every time you lose a game here, everybody, the ship is sinking. But that's just how it goes. And once you've been here long enough, I've been here 3 years now, and my third year, and like, you would think that we were 9-7 or not. But at the end of the day, you can't worry about that. You just got to go out there and keep playing, keep fighting, keep grinding, and then it all come together. You just got to start working harder, playing harder, and I think that's what we did. So at the end of the day, I'm not really worried about what or how the season has gone. We're 12-3. Hopefully we can be 13-3, get this first round bye, and then another season starts from there.
Sweet.
This is the Press Pass here on KXL. When we return, Jason Tatum's career night against the Charlotte Hornets, and we'll take a look at the Bruins as well. This is the Press Pass here on KXL tonight, presented by Douglas Leonard and Gari. This segment of the show brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 189, 1450, and NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Press Pass is presented by Douglas Leonard and Garvey, and this segment of the show brought to you by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. More information, check out prescription-center.com. Of course, WKXL is your home for Boston Celtics basketball. Celtics 21-7 going up into their contest today as we do the show here on Friday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And earlier this week, Jason Tatum had a career-high 39 points in the Celtics blowout victory over the Charlotte Hornets. And in this segment of the show, we'll hear from Tatum, Kemba Walker. We'll also talk with Grant Williams and Taco Fall, two of the impressive Celtics rookies. Terry Rozier returned to the Garden. And we'll talk with Del Curry, the legendary sharpshooter and current broadcaster for the Hornets, who, of course, is also the father of Seth and Steph Curry, of course. So we'll talk with all them in this segment. We'll probably do some Bruins as well. But we'll get things started with Jason Tatum. And one of the things I've noticed this year from Tatum is a difference in his mentality, where last year he would defer, play within the offense. Now he's looking to create offense, and there's no greater example than that than his 39-point performance against the Hornets, which he scored 23 in the fourth quarter of play, and was not shooting the basketball particularly well, but kept shooting. Here's Jason Tatum postgame.
When we got up by a few, some of the guys started running around, which is kind of what they do. They compete hard. They're a physical team, a lot of big, strong guys that finished their checks. So we were ready for that, and we knew it was going to happen. But we get the win. That's all that matters.
In them running around, do you think they crossed a line? Bush mentioned he saw some spears out there. And if it was you, you'd probably be hearing from the league office.
Yeah, I would. I didn't see every play. There's definitely a few slew foots out there, and we know I've been victimized of that. So, I don't see everything out there. They play hard. They play physical. Things happen when you play that way. So, the league will take care of whatever they feel like they need to take care of, and we'll move on.
Jason Tatum right there. Also talked with Kemba Walker about Tatum's performance.
Me personally, I love to watch it. Like you said, I know what it feels like to be in that kind of zone. So I was just excited. I just wanted to keep getting him the basketball, to tell the truth. I just kept telling him, just keep on shooting, I'm going to try to get 40. That's what it was about. When you feel it like that, man, you got to keep letting go.
Have you noticed a difference in him in terms of his mentality, more of a shooter's type of mentality, where he wasn't shooting the ball that well until late third, fourth quarter, and he kept shooting over and over again, got to 27 shots?
That's what he do. He's a scorer. He has to start to learn that just because he missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 in a row, the next one is always going in. That's how he has to think. We need him to score big for us in order for us to be really good. He has to mature. He is in front of all of us. And like I said, it's just really fun to watch.
Yep. Celtics have been helped out a lot by key rookie performances this year, and Grant Williams has probably been the best of the bunch for the Celtics.
What have been the biggest keys for you guys dealing with the injuries that have come about? And obviously individuals like yourself have stepped forward and had bigger roles, and how important is that for your development too?
It's nice. It's not nice having guys out, but stepping up and competing at a high level is always good. We've done a good job of staying together and just taking advantage of our strengths and making the best plays at the best time. So we just got to continue to do that, and feel like when we get everybody back, we're going to keep the thing rolling.
Do you feel like you found yourself in the league at this point, or are you still kind of scratching the surface in terms of what you can do?
There's a lot more that I can do that I can potentially grow from, but it's not going to be an overnight thing. So that's something that I approach day by day, just to get better in a single thing. And no matter how long it takes, I know that eventually it'll be a point where I'll be looked at as one of those guys. So I just got to continue to work hard and continue to do my job. That's the biggest thing, and focus on what I can control.
Who do you find yourself leaning on the most to try to get knowledge and to figure out your role within the team and what you can do best within the league?
I feel like I lean on Smart a ton, because he's a guy that works his butt off and has worked for the past 6 years in development. So Smart's been a guy that I've really listened to and leaned to. And same with Kemba and Gordon. All these guys have had my back in these veteran roles. So I'm just thankful for them.
Do you think that – have you found the baseline for what you're going to do offensively moving forward? Because I remember with Jalen, it was sticking the three in the corner, or Kawhi Leonard when they first started, getting that one or two things they're really, really good at and consistent with on the offensive side. Do you see yourself needing to do that, or do you just find your role from within the offense?
My role comes within the offense. I feel like for me it's just been about making the right play, making the right read, and as well as y'all get Screener being the guy that does the right things at the right time. So the biggest thing for me looking forward to is defensively and expanding that side of the ball.
And there, of course, is a tremendous amount of interest in the 7'6" Taco Fall. The fans go crazy when he comes into the game. They chant for him throughout the course of the contest. And then Taco arrives, Celtics run some plays for him, he gets to the rim, and it's become a big part of the Celtics. I think it's a big positive for them because it keeps the players like it, and it keeps the players engaged and wanting to get to that point where it is Taco time late in the contest.
Have you been surprised at the momentum around, you know, the fans embracing you has continued to grow and grow and grow?
Try not to get caught up too much in that and just stay focused on the course. But like I said, it's been crazy, and I've been really appreciative of it. You know, as a rookie, it's like this was probably my third NBA game, and just everything that's been happening, and I'm really appreciative of it.
Why do you think it is? Because obviously your size is a part of it, but it seems like the fans have embraced you as an individual, and they like, you know, the way that you've embraced the city, your persona, and all that.
Even I don't know. I guess it's just some things that are meant to happen. And I just look at it as a blessing, honestly.
When you look at your game, where do you see, you know, areas that the coaching staff and the organization is telling you that if you improve in these specific areas, you have a chance to, you know, have a real impact in the league?
Just keep doing the things I'm doing, but just step it up a notch, and being able to do it consistently for a longer period of time, where instead of coming in and contributing for like 3-4 minutes, I can come in and do it for straight 8 minutes, and the more I do that, the more consistently I get more chances. And like I said the other day, I can do things that can help us now, but it's just I don't want to be average. I want to do that in the best of my capabilities, and I just got to keep working on that.
Bobby, how much do you enjoy this group and all the different personalities and divergent personalities that create this chemistry the team has?
It's like we have all the right pieces that fit together, from the rookies to the vets, and starting with from Grant to Kemba and everybody that's been here, JT, Jalen, and Shemi, and all of us, the new guys. We all get along so much. It's like it's just kind of happened naturally, honestly.
Thanks. Terry Rozier returned to the TD Garden. Of course, he was a big part of the team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals and was within a game of going to the NBA Finals back in 2018. Here is the conversation with Terry Rozier.
Just your takeaways of coming back, the fan reaction, and everything took place.
It was just great, man. It was great. Brought back a couple memories, that I shared in here with these fans, with my old teammates. So, you know, it was great.
What have you seen from Tatum and Brown in terms of their growth this year? And is there anything different that you're seeing from them and the load they're taking on?
Just two superstars in the making, man. Two superstars in the making. And I mean that, not just saying it. Them guys put the work in. They really care. They want to learn the game, and them boys can really play. You know, like I just remember them two being in summer league, and me and Marcus Smart coming back to play with them, and you just seen it then, like they was ready for that moment, and then now they putting in a position to make the best out of it, and they doing just that.
Are they better than you thought they'd be, the Celtics?
Celtics?
Yeah.
I feel like they're always gonna be pretty good. You know, this organization with coaches and everybody buying in the system, I feel like they always gonna put a good team together. But I feel like they're pretty good, pretty damn good.
That is Terry Rozier. Now here is Del Curry.
Joined by Del Curry, what's been the impact that you've noticed in regards to Terry Rozier and how he's fit in with the group?
I think he's fit in very well. He's quietly having a good year. I think, you know, first few games he got into some foul trouble and really couldn't get his rhythm. But you know, about the second week into the year, he started playing better, getting comfortable with the guys on the floor, and he's shooting the ball well. I think his numbers are all career highs. So a lot was made about his deal. and you know what to expect, but I think he's played very well.
Yeah, consistency was an issue with him here in Boston. It seems like from his shooting percentages and the way he's played, that hasn't been a problem for you guys in terms of motor or in terms of shooting the basketball.
Well, that's part of being a starter. You know you're going to get consistent minutes. You know you're going to be counted on a nightly basis. He's been pretty reliable. Coming off the bench, your minutes could be sporadic. You know, not knowing when you're going to go in or out of the game, but as a starter, you know you're going to play, you know you're going to get your minutes, and he's lived up to the task. It's a little difficult coming off the bench, but once you're a starter, there's a different accountability to that. I know he understands that, and he's got all the opportunity in the world with his team. You know, he can shoot any shot that he wants. He's been aggressive all year long, and that's what we need.
Yeah, Kemba's a guy who, you know, we watched from afar, and you had a feel for how good he was, but I don't think we knew how good he was, particularly how good a person he was. What's been the loss from your perspective, not having him around Charlotte, and the impact that you see him having here in Boston?
Well, he was a fan favorite. I mean, it was a shock for all the fans, the city of Charlotte, when you know they decided to part ways. But he's been a class act from start to finish. We knew you guys, Boston would be getting a heck of a player, an even greater person. Great in the locker room, good leader, tough, fierce competitor. And a great teammate. It's hard to replace. You can't replace guys like that. But it's time for Charlotte to move on. I think Devontae Graham, it's opened up opportunities for him as well. So you wish Kimba the best. We know we wish we still had him, but it's part of the business. And you turn the page and move on.
Loved watching in the 90s, and I was thinking about that era of basketball and the way the game was played back then. And there's been a lot of discussion as to where the league is headed in the right direction. A lot of players from your era, you know, Derek Harper, Patrick Ewing, and others will say the game is not as good now as it was then. Guys on TV like Barkley and such, you're around the game all the time. And have obviously kids playing at a high level, very high level in the game. So do you feel that the game has taken a step back, or do you like the evolution of the game, particularly the scoring that we're seeing this year?
Everybody's got a different opinion. I find the game exciting. I was a shooter in the league, so the league has gone that way. They shoot a lot of threes, and then those three-pointers are starting to be taken further and further back from the line. And a lot of old-school guys wish there was a little more physicality to the game. I agree with that. Yeah. I think they've really made it so you've taken all the physicality out. You can't touch anybody, but that's the sign of times we live in with social media and everything. It's everybody, you know, you want an exciting, fast-paced game, and unfortunately that physicality is not a part of that. So there's give and take there. Yeah, I like the old school game when I played. I like today's game, and I wish there was a better mix of the two.
Final thing, you know, as a basketball dad, like, and a dad, you know, who's has kids growing up playing sports, you always kind of wonder what the boundaries are and how you should go about creating an environment where your kid can have success. And you obviously see a lot of parents go over the top in the wrong direction. I'm curious, as a former pro player with two kids who you obviously, you know, had growing up and playing the game, how did you create an environment where they could be successful while you're also not putting pressure on them to be like you?
You try to keep life as normal as possible. I always tell people that the NBA is a fantasy life. It's a great life, but it's pretty unrealistic. I mean, the normal person, you know, doesn't get to live an NBA life. So my wife did a great job of making sure our kids stayed as normal as possible. I always tell people we gave them everything they needed, but not everything they wanted. I think that kept them hungry. But we also, once they realized that, or they told us that they wanted to concentrate and be the best players that they could, we said, okay, this is what it takes. We gave them the resources, but we made them stay hungry and disciplined about the game. Obviously, growing up around the NBA, you see what it takes. You follow your dad, you follow your dad's teammates. You see the work ethic, so that's instilled in you at an early age. But still, each individual has to have their own work ethic, goals, dedication. And both my boys in the league, I'm super proud, but they got in the league entirely different ways. Yeah. Steph was a lottery pick. Seth wasn't drafted.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you there's different ways to get in the league. You go through the G League or a lottery pick. If you stay at hand and you know, look at the big picture and try to get there, work your tail off. If you have the skill, the talent, the work ethic, desire, you can do it.
Thanks.
This is the Press Pass here on KXL. That is Del Curry joining us here, broadcaster for the Charlotte Hornets. We're going to go into some hockey now. Hockey interviews on the program presented by the Concord Youth Hockey Association. Get your youngsters signed up to play hockey with ConcordYouthHockey.org. As the Boston Bruins won 7-3 over the Washington Capitals, they'd struggled as of late. They'd lost 8 of their last 9 games, although a lot of them went to overtime. And they needed this victory. It was a victory that came at a cost as both Charlie McAvoy and Torrey Krug were injured. Capitals were running around a little bit and taking some liberties on Bruins players, particularly after the Bruins jumped up 4-0 after the first period of play. And I talked about that and the need for the win with Brad Marchand.
When we got up by a few, some of the guys started running around, kind of what they do. They compete hard. They're a physical team, a lot of big, strong guys that finished their checks. So we were ready for that, and we knew it was going to happen. But we get the win. That's all that matters.
In them running around, do you think they crossed a line? Bush mentioned he saw some spears out there. And if it was you, you'd probably be hearing from the league office.
Yeah, I would. I didn't see every play. There's definitely a few slew foots out there, and we know I've been victimized of that. So, I don't see everything out there. They play hard. They play physical. Things happen when you play that way. So, the league will take care of whatever they feel like they need to take care of, and we'll move on.
Just how much do you feel like you guys needed this game tonight, coming off the 8-9 and putting the type of performance you guys did together?
Yeah, we. It's a nice game going to the break. I think this is a long time coming. We've been losing games that we definitely deserve to win, and just seemed like every bounce has been going against us. Every mistake that we make was kind of ending up in our net. So it's good to have the bounces go the other way tonight, and good feeling going into the break.
You mentioned you thought you guys were there despite what the results had been. What did you like most about the performance overall that kind of continued with the good feeling you had?
I just think that we're playing pretty well throughout the group. Everyone's contributing. We're not really relying on one or two guys to win, and that's what we need. We're competing hard, and we're working to our spots and playing within the system. And you do that every night, then you're going to win games, and we saw tonight. This is how we play. And this is how we've been playing. It's just sometimes the pucks haven't been bouncing our way. But you do it consistently, we're going to win a lot more than we're going to lose.
Here is David Pastrnak.
Just a feeling how much the team needed this type of performance tonight, getting out ahead early.
Yeah, well, obviously much needed win. We wanted to finish on a good note before Christmas. And, obviously we had a tough time with the Washington team, lately. So it's a big win for us,
You talk about how you got the goals early on. Too Butcher's mentioned they're kind of greasy type of goals, the goals that haven't been coming lately.
Yeah, simply, played off the shot, had a drive through, had the people around the net, and that's sometimes what it takes, when you are can't score lately.
Do you feel like they were crossing the line at all? Some of the hits, Butch mentioned some spears, obviously there's the Oshie hit.
Yeah, definitely was maybe a little than expected, but I said they're a tough team, we won't let push each let being pushed, by anybody, so we answer, got led probably a little bit under control, if I said right, and yeah, but that's, remind me a little bit of playoff hockey, and sometimes these games are part of it, even in December.
Also spoke with Brandon Carlo.
Was there a desperation to you guys tonight, having lost 8-9 last game before you go on this break, Capitals being who they are?
I don't like the word desperation necessarily, but definitely a factor of us taking into account those losses and wanting to kind of flip the page and start on the other side of it. So we're going to start to continue to write the story from here on out and try and put the negativity behind us.
From a D-man perspective, how important is puck management on a night like this, and what did you like about the way you guys did that?
It's very important in every game throughout the entire 60. When you start to get loose and lackadaisical with the puck, that's when mistakes happen and it ends up in the back of your net. So we did a good job of managing the ice when we could, and when there was those little mishaps, we had the other four guys just right there to support. So it was a five-man effort throughout the entire game on the ice.
do you think any lines were crossed in terms of their physicality? And Butch mentioned he saw some spears out there. Brad said some slew puts. Obviously, there's the Oshie hit. Do you think that they went a little bit too far?
I'm going to leave that up to the officiating to decide that, whether or not they're crossing the line. I didn't feel in danger by any means out there. It's the style of play. They have some heavy bodies who are going to do that, and it's the little stuff behind the scenes where, like you said, the spears and whatnot. I didn't notice any of that with myself, but you don't want to see that.
This is the Press Pass here on KXL tonight, presented by Douglas Leonard and Garvey. This segment of the show presented by the Prescription Center, and hockey interviews on the program brought to you by the Concord Youth Hockey Association. We'll come back with more after this. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 109, 1450, and NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. We welcome right now our resident sports expert from Boston.com. He is Dave D'Onofrio. And the Patriots' victory over the Buffalo Bills, well, that was exactly what the Patriots needed. We'll see if they're able to build on this moving forward. But even through the trials and tribulations of this season for the offense, they did not have to have moments where they performed, where the pressure was really on. Because let's face it, for a team that has been, in the Super Bowl as consistently as this group has been in and won six championships, if you're Tom Brady and been in the big game the last 3 years and won it twice, there is a certain pressure that comes with big moments that, you may look at it as a fan and say, "Oh, this is a big moment for the Patriots against the Chiefs." But as a player, you don't really need that moment. The Bills game, they were behind. They needed to make plays. They needed to tie the game. They needed to take the lead. They needed a 2-point conversion, and the offense executed in all those circumstances, and the defense too. But to me, that was what was significant about this, is the offense proved that when they need to make plays against a good defense down, they can do it.
Yeah, and to your point, this was on track. If Sunday hadn't happened or Saturday hadn't happened, this would be entering the final week as the first time in Tom Brady's career as a starter where he has not needed to put together a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter. And they still have had a good season, but they were lacking that moment where, the offense saved them. The offense put it together at the right time. The offense, as you said, made the plays it had to make. And to do it against a playoff team, which I think we can all agree now is a legitimate playoff team and is gonna be a team that somebody does not want to face in the wild card round, to do it against them and a defense that ranked, second in the league in points and third in yardage or vice versa, whatever it was, it's impressive. And you couple that with what they did in the first half where, they only came away with 10 points and they were tied. But they dominated that game in the first half. They put together two really long drives. They wound up with over 400 yards of offense, which they hadn't even got to 300 most recently or at all in recent times. So It was the most encouraging win they've had this season, and to do it in a spot where you really needed it in terms of securing your bye or putting yourself in a position to secure a bye, it's a tremendous statement about what this team can do moving forward.
Yeah, and we talked going into this game about how it was going to happen for the Patriots. So we thought they'd win, but it would be Josh Allen losing the game for the Bills. It would be the Patriots' defense making plays. It would be the special teams making plays. But, in fact, it was a combination, not really of Allen. He made plays down the stretch. Give him a lot of credit. He was so much better in this game than he was in the previous game against the Patriots. And he made big throws. He made good plays with his legs. He did not perform poorly in this game. It was Brady, and it was Sony Michel, and it was Rex Burkhead and Edelman, and it was the Patriots' offense that made the plays to win the game. And the way this season had played out, you just didn't have a lot of confidence that would take place down
down the stretch. The Patriots were behind. If they were going to win, it was going to be, you know, a pick six. It was going to be something that was going to happen, a fumble. And that's how they were going to come back and find their way into the game. But in fact, you know, the way that the Patriots won, again, like, that is, to me, very encouraging for this group moving forward. Now we know the challenges that are going to exist out there, and that they're going to have to go through Baltimore at this point. But do you think that this is what the Patriots needed? Like, is this that moment where we're going to look back at this and we're going to say, okay, so this, when they needed to get going, this is where they did, and now here they are?
I think so. I think it is. I'm not sure it's going to – I'm still not convinced it's going to become that. I'm still not convinced that, you know, this is their fourth trip to the Super Bowl. This is the start of that. I don't know. But you just think about it. We around here have come to associate these Saturday night, dark, cold moments where something was on the line. That's a scenario, as Patriots fans, we've seen for two decades now, and it's always been a playoff game. And Saturday felt like a playoff game. It felt like it should have been January instead of December. And to see them step up in that moment and come out as prepared as they did, and to really beat a good team without needing to win the turnover battle, that was another thing that I had sort of questioned about this team. Yeah, it's easy to look great when you're forcing three interceptions or recovering a fumble, and, you know, you get four extra possessions. This game, they committed the only turnover. It didn't derail them. They still looked good offensively. They still responded to the challenge. And I think the fact that they clearly treated it like it meant something.
Yeah.
Like it meant more than the other games had meant to that point. Not that the Patriots are a team that take anyone lightly or go into any week ill-prepared, but this one seemed to feel different. And the fact that it felt different in a way that very much had a playoff atmosphere behind it, that's what they're in now. Yeah, the Miami game, that should be a layup. But then from there, those are the types of attitudes and responses and approaches you have to take to your business. And you're going to face teams as good or better than the Bills. So to recognize that and to execute the way they did, if they go to the Super Bowl, it started on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, most likely the Chiefs are going to be coming into Foxborough on the 11th or 12th for the divisional round of the playoffs. Chiefs are going to play either the Titans or the Steelers on wildcard weekend. Bills are going to play the Texans, and the Patriots will play the highest remaining seed, which will most likely be the Chiefs, unless the Titans or Steelers are able to upset them, which is very unlikely. So it's going to be a Patriots-Chiefs matchup in the divisional round of the playoffs in a couple weeks. And to be quite honest, like, this is where you come back to, a couple weeks ago now, and you're like, oh, the Chiefs came in here, they won in a game that was winnable for the Patriots. And, you know, what are the chances of the Chiefs coming into Foxborough twice in a couple weeks and beating the Patriots twice? Like, I just don't see that happening.
No, and all those comments that everyone had about the officials and the Keeld Harry touchdown that got taken away and everything you wish you could go back and do over, well, now's your chance to prove it. If you think you got screwed out of that win, no better time to correct the record than the divisional round of the playoffs.
And plus, I like the fact that they're going up against a defense that isn't great, where I feel like the Patriots and their defense can figure things out against Mahomes and that unit. Now, Tyreek Hill's, you're not going to really stop him, but you can shut off the pipes in other areas of the offense and try to create more difficulty for him. But I'd be much more concerned about playing a great defense if I'm the Patriots and an offense that, you know, manages the game and gets things done. So to me, this is more of an opportunity for the Patriots to build with that offense. You got 2 weeks, you got some rest, you got some new things you can put in, and you go up against a defense that is not great.
Agreed. And, you know, it kind of varies historically. Would you rather face the team with the defense or with the quarterback? And the Chiefs are clearly the team that has the quarterback. They're clearly a team that, you know, has its issues defensively. although they are playing better lately. But I think Kansas City, you just look at it, and you beat them twice last year. You had a chance to beat them this year. That's a team that you at least feel confident about. You know, maybe you don't feel as confident as Baltimore because you didn't have answers for them. Houston is a team you feel confident about. The Bills, I think, are a team you feel confident about. So starting with the Chiefs, I think the Patriots look at it and have to say to themselves, this is about us. This is about us in that divisional round, finding a way to, you know, do what they did last year to Tyreek Hill, and even to some extent this year, slow Travis Kelce. They seem to handle Mahomes okay as anybody does. But I think they got to look at it and say, it doesn't matter. If we play like we did Saturday night, if we play like we can, if we have balance offensively, our defense is good enough to beat anybody. And that's what it comes down to. It's about them. It's as much as we've complained about them at times this year, and we've wondered how high the ceiling is in truth, Saturday night was reassuring in that regard, that if they can put it together, they're dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots are going to be a 13-3 football team. So, I mean, if you were to listen to the talk around here about the Patriots, I mean, you would assume they are at best, 10-6 team. best. And probably more like an 8-8 team. But they are a 13-3 football team. And they're going up against teams out there that are, they're good. I mean, the Chiefs are a very good team. They have, you know, as we talked about, an incredible offense. Defense is good. Coach that, you know, gets things done and knows how to win football games, but has never been really able to get to that, you know, Bill Belichick type of a level. And then you have a Baltimore Ravens team, which just seems to have everything going for it right now. A coach that is a Super Bowl winning coach. And a player who is extremely dynamic and is really, you know, the comparison is made between Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick. But to me, he's not the passer that Vick was, but he's much more of a threat running the football than Vick was. So I see the comparison, but I think that he's even much different than Michael Vick. And you're going to have to go to, you know, Baltimore to beat them more than likely after they play the Bills or the Texans. So, because it's one game and because of the pedigree of this group, I'm not counting the Patriots out by any stretch of the imagination. But we're at a point where I like them in the Chiefs game, but I'm waiting and seeing on the Ravens.
Agreed. And Lamar Jackson is insane. Watching that game yesterday between the Ravens and the Browns, it's like, okay. It's 6-0 as the half is approaching. The Browns are winning. The Ravens really haven't done too much. You're wondering, like, is this the week where somebody finally figured it out and the other teams will take that blueprint? And then all of a sudden, before the half even expires, I mean, they got to the 2-minute warning down 6-0. They went to halftime up 14-6. And then it just became a rout from there. And all along the way, you just say, wow, how do you even defend Lamar Jackson? What do you do? And then you think to yourself, he's 22, and the Heisman Trophy winner this year out of LSU, Joe Burrow, was 23. So this is a potentially long and very prosperous thing for the Ravens. The question is, can they do it now?
Right.
And right now, I think the answer is yes. They've done it. They've beat everyone they have to beat. It looks like a dominant thing, but you mentioned the one game. You go into one game, I don't know if anyone is betting against Brady and Belichick. 20-3 at home in the playoffs, been to the Super Bowl 4 out of the last 5 years. You know, that's all what Lamar Jackson could be facing if the Patriots can handle the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the weapons around Lamar Jackson right now are not even as good as they could be. So that's the potential that exists moving forward, is that they can still get better. The Ravens are way ahead of schedule. We knew they were going to be a good team. They were a good team last year, but they're way ahead of schedule in terms of how good they are. And, you know, I remember going into, you know, the season, we talked a lot, and that was the first game to me which really stood out, because I'd liked what I'd seen from the Ravens, but I didn't think they were necessarily there yet. I thought they were a Super Bowl contender, but I didn't think they were a favorite. But wait until they add some, and they have some flexibility. to do such. Wait until they add something extra. That's Dave D'Onofrio, our resident sports expert, joining us here on the program. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the program presented by the Concord Photo Service as well as Gibson's Booksellers. Let's talk about the Celtics before we bid you adieu. Celtics at 20-7 on the season after a 26-point victory over the Charlotte Hornets. This is a fun team, as a team that's playing without two of their best players in Gordon Hayward and Marcus Smart. A team without, you know, at face value, a lot of depth, and without two of their key players. They have continued to roll. This team beats teams they should beat, like the Hornets, like the Pistons, and they do so in, you know, in the last couple nights in a convincing fashion. And plus, you know, we're seeing Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown kind of come into their own. And last night, the most important and impressive thing about Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum didn't shoot the ball well at all through the first three quarters of the game, but he kept shooting. And then he scored 23 points in the fourth quarter and ended up shooting a good percentage in the game. And that's the shooter's mentality. That's the superstar mentality that, you know, he didn't have and maybe wasn't allowed to have before.
Yeah, last night was a hello Jason Tatum's killer instinct kind of game, because if the score at the end of the day, you look at it and you're like, oh, that was a blowout, and it was, but it wasn't that way for three quarters. And just like you said, it wasn't Jason Tatum's night for three quarters. So to see him sort of rise up and the team come with him, that is, I think we've said it before, that and Jason, Jaylen Brown's emergence as, you know, next level, not superstars, but guys who can carry
all-stars.
All-stars.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think they're both in the conversation at this point, as is Kendall Walker.
Right. Dave, appreciate you joining us for the show. This has been the Press Pass tonight on KXL, presented by Douglas Leonard and Garvey.